This chazor zeichen nishu bachach etz v'shag v'yom yichud mizach z'chul and daf nun tes. Zok the Mishnah, the signs of a kosher behem and chay are said in the Torah, but the signs of kosher bird are not. However, the Chacham have said that a bird that is doyrus, it grabs food in its claws and it brings it to its mouth to eat, that's what Rashi says. So a bird that's doyrus is not kosher. And any bird that has an extra toe, we'll see what that means, it has a crop, and it has a gizzard that can be peeled, is kosher. Rav Loza, the son of Rav Tzadik, said, any bird that splits its toes, meaning when it stands on a cord, it puts two toes in front and two in the back, it's not kosher. The Mishnah continues with regard to grasshoppers. Any kind that has four walking legs, four wings, two jumping legs, and whose wings cover most of his body, is kosher. Rav Yaisi says it also has to be known by the name of Chogov. Mishnah continues with regard to fish. Any type that has a snap ear and a kaskeses is kosher. Rav Yehuda says it has to have two kaskasen and one snap ear. The kaskeses are the things that remain set on the fish, meaning the scales. The snap ear is what the fish uses to swim, meaning the fins. Zok the Gemara Brice says the following are the signs of kosher behemah. Pasuk says, "Kol behemah mafresus parsa." The animal has to have split hooves. The animal must chew its cud. And any animal that chews its cud definitely does not have the upper front teeth, and it is kosher. In fact, a camel chews its cud. It has no upper front teeth, and yet it's not kosher. If tomorrow it has two upper front teeth on the sides. In fact, my baby camel doesn't have those upper front teeth, so why is it not kosher? Also, there's the shofan and there are neves, which are animals that chew their cud and yet do have upper front teeth, and yet they're not kosher. And finally, there's no place in the Torah that we find a reference to the lack of upper front teeth as being a sign that an animal is kosher. Rather, what the Braisa means is that any animal that does not have upper front teeth definitely chews its cud and has split hooves and therefore is kosher. So, why can't we simply look if the animal has split hooves and thereby know that it's, whether it's kosher? The Braisa's method of identification would be needed for a case where the animal's hooves were cut off. Like Rav Chisda said, that if one is traveling in the desert and sees an animal with its hooves cut off, you should examine its mouth. If it doesn't have upper front teeth, it's definitely kosher. If it does, it's definitely not kosher. This may be done as long as you can recognize a camel, since it's the one animal that doesn't have upper front teeth and it's still not kosher. In fact, a camel does have upper front teeth on the sides. Rav Chisda meant that he has to be able to recognize a baby camel which doesn't have the upper front teeth. In fact, we should be concerned for other baby animals that don't yet have their upper front teeth grown in. And for more, this is not so, as the Tanna Dvei Shmuel said, the Pasuk says, Es hagamol kimale gera hu, which Jesus said Hashem tells us that there's no animal that chooses cud and it's not kosher except for the camel. Rav Chisda also said, if someone's traveling in the desert and sees an animal with his mouth damaged so that he can't check his teeth, he should examine its hooves. If it has split hooves, definitely kosher. If it does not, definitely not kosher. This may be done as long as he can recognize a pig, since that's the one animal that has split hooves and does not chew its cud and therefore is not kosher. In fact, we should be concerned for other animals that have split hooves that are not kosher. Mor said, this is not so. Tanna Dvei Shmuel said, the Pasuk says, V'yasachazir kim rafas parsa hu, which teaches that Hashem tells us there's no animal that has split hooves and is not kosher except for the pig. Rav Chisda also said, if someone is traveling in the desert and sees an animal with his mouth damaged so he can't check his teeth and its hooves are cut off, he should examine its muscle. If it runs up and down and also side to side, it's definitely kosher. If it does not, it's definitely not kosher. This may be done as long as he can recognize a wild donkey, since it's the one animal whose muscle runs both ways and yet is not kosher. In fact, we should be concerned for other animals that have muscles that run in both ways and are not kosher. And tomorrow we have a Kabbalah. There's no exception to this rule except for the wild donkey, which muscle is examined to see if it runs in both directions. So Abaye, Rav Chisda said, underneath the tailbone. Mishnah said Simone Chaya. Abai says the following are the signs for a Chaya. Gemara asked aside, the signs of a kosher Chaya are the same for a behemoth. So Rav Zeir said the Braisa means to give the signs of what is a Chaya for purpose of saying that its fats are mutter to be eaten. It's a Chaya, not a behemoth. So the Braisa continues. Braisa says any animal that has horns and split hooves that are more pointed as opposed to the hooves that are rounded, that's a Chaya. Rav Doisa said, if it has horns, you don't even have to look if it has pointed hooves, but if it has pointed hooves, you still have to look to see if it has horns. With regard to the keresh, even though it only has one horn, it's mutter as a chaya. Vekmar, a goat has split hooves that are pointed and has horns, and yet it's a behema, and its fats are aser. Mar says, the horns of a chaya have layers. The goat's horns do not, which is why it's not a chaya. Vekmar, an ox has horns that are layered, and yet its fats are aser. And Vekmar, a chaya's horns have grooves, and ox's horns do not. Vekmar, a goat's horns have grooves, and yet its fats are aser. And Vekmar, a chaya's horns branch out, a goat's horns do not. Vekmar, a tzvi's horns are not branched. Rashi over here says, it clearly can't be referring to a deer, has to be referring to the Steinbach, which is similar to the animal like a deer, but does not have branched horns. So a tzvi's horns are not branched, and yet the fats are mutter. And for tomorrow, if the horns are rounded, it's a sign for a chaya, even if it's not branched. Zokamara, based on the above, if the animal has branched horns, it's certainly a chaya, and if its fats are, and therefore its fats are mutter. If the horns are not branched, in order to be a chaya, the horns must be layered, rounded, and grooved in a way that the grooves are close to each other and go into each other. These requirements, Zokta Gemara, of the chayah's horns are what leads to the question regarding the karkuz goat, whether it's a behemoth or a chayah. The Beis Kalus, as Mara said, had a karkuz goat. After it was shech, the Rabbi Chai said the fats were osir, but Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Avo, ate from the fats. They sent the message from Eretz Yisrael that the halacha follows the view of Shmuel, son of Rabbi Avo, but you have to be careful for the honor of a chayah because he lights up the eyes of the gullus. Mara continues, Rabbi Huda said that the Keresh is the deer of Bei Eli and that the Tigris is the lion of Bei Eli. Rav Kahana said there were 9 amis between the 2 ears of the lion of Bei Eli, and the deer of the Bei Eli was 16 amis long. The Caesar, Mara says, there's some stories. The Caesar said to Rabbi Shua ben Hananya, your God is compared to, in the pasuk, to a lion. What's great about that? Any warrior can kill a lion. Rabbi Shua said, he's not being compared to a regular lion, he's being compared to the lion of Bei Eli. The Caesar demanded to see this lion. Rabbi Shua told him, you'll not be able to stand seeing it. The Caesar continued to demand to see it. Rabbi Shua davened for it to come out of its place, and it did. When it was 400 parsecs away, it let out one roar. The roar caused all pregnant women of Rome to miscarry and all the walls to collapse. When it was 300 parsecs away, it again roared. It caused all the men's teeth to fall out and caused the Caesar to fall off his throne onto the ground. He asked Rabbi Shua to daven that it returned to its place. Rabbi Shua did so, and it returned to its place. Another story, there was Caesar said to Rabbi Shua ben Hananya, I want to see your God. Rabbi Shua said, you're not capable of seeing him. The Caesar demanded that he show him that Rabbi Shua show him God. Rabbi Shua put the Caesar in the sun, in the height of the summer, and told him, look directly at the sun. The Caesar said, that's not, I can't do that. I'm not able to do that. Rabbi Shua said, the sun is just one of the many servants of Hashem. And you say that you're not able to look at it. Clearly, you're not able to look at Hashem himself.